Morning. So good to see you today. How's everyone doing? You're doing well? You're doing well? You're looking good. So, turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking great today. Now, I would be remiss to if I did not mention and say, how you doing, Chris and Hannah? Everyone give Chris and Hannah a great wave and clap and welcome. Good to see you. Welcome. Amen. Praise God. That last song, I trust that it spoke to you as well as it spoke to me, because it's really the perfect prayer that would lead into my message today. And if you have your Bibles, I trust you do, whether it's in the hardcover or on your phone, your iPad, there's a Bible in the seat in front of you. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in just a moment as we continue our series, Rooted. And today, the title of my message, the theme of my message is Grow God's Way. There are a lot of ways and ideas that people have of how to grow. But today I want to talk to us about what it means to grow God's way. Would you agree that sometimes growing up is hard to do? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes growing up is hard to do. Some would say, Pastor, I'm not grown up yet. Well, we'll talk about that later. But sometimes growing is up to do. For example, Allison was hiking with her parents when her dad found a snake skin and gave it to her. She thought it was the greatest and took it home. The skin sat in her closet for several years before it began to get a little ragged. She finally decided it was time to let the snake skin go. So her mom suggested that she put it in the backyard of the house. Some little neighborhood boy will find it and be happy, she predicted. Well, later that afternoon, Allison and her mom were in the front yard when her dad ran around the side of the house calling excitedly, "You'll never guess what I found in the backyard!" Sometimes growing up is hard to do. I have been called a child at heart. And I know there are many here today that you would probably know what I'm talking about. It's one thing to grow up, but you don't have to grow old. But I remember, and how many can identify with me, I remember when I was a child how bad I wanted to grow up. I wanted to be one of those cool teenagers who went to high school with their leather jackets and they drove the big muscle cars to school. I wanted to be just like that. Well, then I got to high school. Found out it wasn't all what it was cracked up to be. So I couldn't wait to get to college and become a college graduate. Then I would be grown up. And so I did. I went to college, went to Bible college in Peterborough, went through 3 years, graduated, then got a job and found out what growing up really is about. Then I thought, well, I want to get married. So I got married. And after I got married, I wanted to have kids, and so I became a dad. Then I wanted to have grandkids, and now I have grandkids. And this past week, we were able to be with our grandkids, and what a great joy it was to be with them, to play with them, to talk with them, to interact with them. And I couldn't help but think, man, wouldn't it be great to be like Denny, to be 1.5, almost 2 years of age, no problems, no decisions to make, no bills to pay. You can eat whenever you want. You can get cuddled whenever you need it. And whenever you got a boo-boo, there's mommy there to kiss the boo-boo. Man, it would be so great to be a little one. But life goes on. And the older we get, I think we'd all agree that growing up is hard to do. And yet, it's essential. If you're new today, we are in part three of the series we've called Rooted. What does it mean to be rooted? Well, the dictionary defines rooted as established deeply and firmly, to be very strong and firmly fixed. To render firm, to fix, to establish, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. See, the purpose of being rooted isn't just so that we can grow to be a beautiful sunflower for everyone to gawk at. No. The purpose is that we would become fruitful and effective and share our seeds with others so they too can be impacted by the love and grace of Christ. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, and I'm going to read from the Amplified translation, "Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving." It's important to know where you are grounded. If you're going to be effective, if you want to grow to be an effective follower of Jesus, then you must be grounded in the right soil, because our fruitfulness begins when we place our faith and are rooted in Jesus. You see, God's wet, but we don't stay there. We just don't stay stuck in the dirt. At least we shouldn't. You see, God's purpose for you and I is that we would grow and move forward. And here's the irony. The irony I have found over the years as a Christian and as a pastor is how many Christians think they're going forward, but in reality, they are either remaining stagnant or they're actually going backwards. In reality, they have not moved, and their faith is beginning to shrivel. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, there are two areas that people fall into. They are people who grow in knowledge. I love knowledge. Many of you are like that. I love to read. I love to study. I am the personification of nerddom. Before it was a word in high school, I was one of them. I love to learn and gain knowledge. Then there are others who are all about grace. They're all about grace and love, and they just want to spread love and grace and forgiveness, and let's not worry about what we know. And then they're caught away by every wind of doctrine that you can find on the internet. It's not a matter of grace or knowledge. Peter says we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All Christians are to be growing Christians, and we're to grow together in grace and in knowledge of our Savior. So how do we do it? How does that happen? How do we get to the place where we are growing forward, upward, and not in reverse? Well, let me ask you this question as well. If someone asked you, what does a person have to do to grow physically stronger? What would your answer be? Well, you would probably tell them, go to Anytime Fitness, get a membership, and go there every day, do the weights, do the treadmill, get on a bike, and ride around the airport track 3 times a week, and you're going to grow physically. And that's great. Many of you know that I ride a bike. And it's been a great game changer for me. I love my bike. I love riding. And to grow physically, we need to take care of what we eat, how much we eat, when we eat, as well as exercising those muscles lest they grow dormant and atrophied. Well, we know what it means to grow physically. Anyone who's been a parent knows what it takes to help your child grow physically. But how do we grow spiritually? What kind of diet does it take for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, as we're going to find from our text today, growing up spiritually may seem hard to do, but it's not, and it's not only essential, but God gives us the means by which this happens. He tells us loud and clear that if we are going to grow in grace and in knowledge, it's not going to be by any wit or genius of ourselves. For he says, no, that while there may be some who plant and some who water, it is God who makes things grow. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? And I'd like us for a change, I'd like us to stand as we read God's word together. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-laborers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Father, thank you for your word to us today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears to hear your word to us today. Open our eyes to see the way that you would have us go. Anoint our feet that we will be ready to respond to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The first thing I want us to understand, if we are intent on moving forward in our faith, if we're intent on growing in Christ, if we're intent in being rooted in him and moving forward in his will, then we need to understand this fact: growth is not an option. Growth is not an option. For some unknown reason, the believers at Corinth had not only stunted in their growth, but they had actually reverted to spiritual infancy. They thought they were growing, as long as there were people getting saved, speaking in tongues, prophesying, everything was good. But in reality, Paul says, they were spiritual infants. They were not acting their spiritual age. What they've been eating was not giving them the nourishment required. They should have been ready for solid spiritual food, but for some reason, they still longed for, craved, and needed a liquid diet. And there was no excuse for this. They should have been growing, yet instead, they were remaining like spiritual babies, self-centered and concerned for their own needs. Not only that, they had become so selfish, like children can be, they were being cruel even to one another, not caring for the feelings of each other. The Bible tells us we are to hold each other up, not to tear them down. And Paul notes that they were characterized by jealousy and strife, squabbling, quarrelsomeness. Competition was taking the place as the outward expression of this inward selfishness. Now, if you're like me, you love babies. How many love babies? We all love babies. Babies are absolutely amazing and wonderful. And a baby that acts like a baby is a joy. But an adult that acts like a baby, yeah, it's a pain. Yeah, exactly. And the same is true of our faith. We can't remain spiritual babies forever. And we have to be so careful that we don't fall into the same trap as the Corinthians did. This is why I love God's Word. It's not just an ancient book of stories and tales that happened long ago, but its words speak to us right now, right here, right today. Aren't you glad for God's Word today? A spiritual infant. What is the signs of spiritual infancy? Well, let me give you three things. Number one, a spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than service. In verse 3, Paul says part of being, he divides them into carnal and not spiritual. It's not that they weren't saved. These people were saved. They knew the Lord. They had accepted Christ. But they were not living and growing as they ought to have been. So Paul calls them carnal, fleshly, instead of spiritual. So why does he say this? He accuses them of being more concerned about their own selfish desires and needs than the needs and service to others. A spiritual infant, you see, is wrapped up in their own little world with little concern for others. And the biggest question on their mind is, well, how does this affect me? Or what's in it for me? Because for spiritual infants, it's all about them. Second characteristic of spiritual infancy is that a spiritual infant is concerned more with the argument than the action. Spiritual infant is concerned with winning an argument rather than acting in what God has called them to be. Paul goes on to say how their gatherings were being marked by strife, quarreling, arguing, and squabbling. A spiritual infant is someone who spends all their energy complaining about things that they don't like and arguing with people that things are not being done how they want them to be done, or arguing their viewpoint just to show they are right rather than getting up and taking action for the kingdom of God. I'm going to say something that I probably should have had my suitcase next to the pulpit when I say it. This past week, I have to be honest, my heart was torn in two. As I saw on the news the various marches that were happening across the country, in Ottawa, in all of our capitals, and even in Victoria and up and down the island. I had only heard about this march a week previous. I did not know who was organizing it, and so please understand and forgive me why I did not mention it beforehand, because I didn't know much about it, but yet I was watching on the news and listening what was happening. And there were two thoughts that came to my mind. Number one was the thought, Lord, this country is more divided than we ever thought. Lord, there is so much anger out there. I also came to realize there is so much need that the church needs to speak into. Folk, we are living in a nation that is backwards, inside out, upside down, that looks nothing like it did a generation ago, two generations ago, or three generations ago. And since COVID, people have become angry. They've become divided. And my heart was broken this week, and I went to God in prayer. And what I felt the Lord saying to me shook me to my core. As I felt the Holy Spirit showing me that how easy it is. The world is looking for answers. The world is looking for hope. The world is looking for peace. The world is looking for leadership. And sadly, oftentimes what they see is a church arguing, a church just as angry as they are. I spoke with three friends this past week in their churches. Two of them were pastors. They're about to give up because of the anger that has arisen within their respective churches, and they just can't take it anymore. My friends, we're living in a day, I don't know how long it's going to be before Jesus comes, but folk, we can't afford to be angry with one another. We can't afford to be in division with one another. My friends, my brothers and sisters, I'm thankful we don't see it in this church, but I pray, God help us, that when the world sees us, when they see Highway Christian Fellowship, they know that there is a difference between us and the world, because when the world is angry, when the world is divided, they will see a church that is united, a church that is together, and a church that's moving forward on the purpose of Christ, sharing the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, infants argue. Mature believers take action, and a spiritual infant is concerned with the past and their preferences rather than Christ and his purpose. And you may not want to clap much longer. Oh, that was a nervous chuckle. You know I love you, don't you? I do. This is the best church anyone can ever pastor. I love this church more than anything. But I want us to be careful that we don't become so concerned with the past and our preferences that we forget that Christ has a purpose for us. And the church at Corinth, this was their problem. They ended up dividing themselves into factions and cliques based upon, of all things, the preachers that they were saved under. Earlier in chapter 1, Paul rebukes them. He says, Peter came, Apollos came, I came. And they were dividing themselves according to who they were saved or baptized by. And I can just imagine Paul sitting in his prison cell, taking his quill or dictating to his secretary, and he is absolutely beside himself. How can they do this? What were they actually doing? Was it, were Paul and Apollos and Peter wrong? Of course not. I mean, Peter. Can you imagine being baptized by Peter? Can you imagine being taught by Peter, who actually learned at the feet of Jesus? Wow. Can you imagine being taught and mentored by Apollos, one of the greatest expositors of his day, who planted churches and saw them grow, who saw miracles happen? Man, it would have been great. Or Paul, I mean, come on. Come on. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been pastored by Paul? And Paul makes this very clear. It's not the man. It's not the servant. You're growing not because of our greatness, our eloquence, our closeness to Jesus. No, we are simply serving together. We're servants. I'm thankful for our worship team and those who are part of the worship team and those who are going to be coming on our worship team, because they're servants. They come with a servant's heart. I thank God for those who are coming around Pastor Sue with our next gen. They're servants. They're not doing it for self-glory. They're servants. I thank God for our board who are serving together in leading the church, not because they know it all, not because they're in charge, but they know they're serving. I thank God for a serving church. And folk, let us ever be careful that we don't fall into the trap that the Corinthians fell into by dividing ourselves into these little factions of, well, this music is right. That teaching is what we should follow. That pastor is what we should do. That Bible study is what we should have. That ministry is what we should be involved in. My friends, God help us. God help us to keep the mission ever in front of us, and the mission is that we would follow Jesus in bringing Sydney and the peninsula to faith in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle Paul was in prison. He's manacled and his feet are tethered. He has left the church at Asia Minor in the leadership of gifted men, of gifted people. He has received word that the church was thwarted in its growth process. It's been impeded for some particular reason. And so Paul marshals the argument of unity, and he drives this point beginning at verse 14 as he tells them to grow up. Then they will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Hallelujah. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Oh, I love this verse because this talks, when I think of this verse, I think of Highway Christian Fellowship. I think of a church in Sydney and the peninsula where the people are faithful to do what God's called them to do. And as each one does their part, God causes the church to grow. Yes, growing up is hard to do. But growth is not an option. We're all called to be growing Christians. And so we must understand it's not what evangelist you are saved under. It's not what book you are reading. It's not what ministry that you are prioritizing in your life. Understand this. As growth comes, it has nothing to do with following a 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 step plan. No, growth comes as we submit ourselves to God, who is the source of all growth. After all, who is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. I thank God for the mentors God has placed in my life. My grandfather, who taught me the importance, priority, and power of prayer. My pastor, Stuart Mulligan, who taught me the primacy and power of preaching. My youth pastor, Dean Skinner, who taught me what it meant to be real and to be with people. I thank God for the men and women God has brought into my life that has helped me grow in my faith in Jesus. For my InterVarsity Christian Fellowship leadership who took me on a summer trip and discipled me and helped me understand why I could believe Christianity was true. I thank God for them all. But you know what? Did you know that there can actually be competition in the church? Now, competition is okay. Competition can be okay. In fact, it's part of our culture. Ask any Toronto, Vancouver, or Montreal hockey fan, who is the best NHL team? Hallelujah! Amen, sister. We'll pray for you, brother. Actually, I'll pray for you, Lise. I mean, come on. Ask any parent on the soccer field or in the hockey arena who's the best player on the ice or on the pitch. Whether it's sports or politics or music or arts, we all have our favorites. We all have our go-tos. But we need to be careful of that competitive spirit. In Corinth, the spirit of competition was strong and proud. But rather than being competitive about sports, politics, or music, they were being competitive about who was the best pastor, as we talked about a moment ago. And they assigned spiritual points to anyone who was following particular pastors or preachers or teaching. Paul is scratching his head as he's writing, and he's going, no. You guys, you've missed the point. Thank God for the mentors in your life. Thank God for those pastors and those Sunday school teachers. Thank God for those parents and grandparents who prayed and prayed and prayed. Some of them may not have lived to see you coming to faith as an answer to their prayers, but they prayed, and that has left an indelible mark on your life. Thank God for them all. But my friends, today let's remember that as we seek to move forward in growth, as much as these mentors are essential, and it's important for us to be mentors to the next generation, at the end of the day, it's God who is making all things grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have friends who pastor different styles of churches. I have friends in churches that are more contemporary, that are more youthy. I have other friends that are in churches that are more traditional. And then we have Highway Christian Fellowship. It's the best. God bless you. We're a motley crew, yeah. But here's it. Any growth that my friends have experienced, they will give this testimony. It's not in the programs. It's not in the pastors. It's not in the preaching. It's not in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 13-step plan for church growth. No, at the end of the day, it's God who gives the growth and gets the glory. Let me give you quickly a 3-point secret to growth in your life and in our church. You want to hear what it is? In fact, this isn't even mine. I took this from Warren Wiersbe, who, man, if there's anyone that knows how to grow a church and preach, it was Warren Wiersbe. And he takes the scripture and he points out 3 things. If we're going to see our church grow, it's going to be, number 1, because of diversity in ministry. Not everyone can do everything, but we can all do something. 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14 illustrate for us and describe and talk about, teach about the spiritual gifts. And in there, Paul is very emphatic at the beginning that it is the Holy Spirit who gives these gifts so the whole body can work together. But we need one another. Don't say you can't teach. Don't say you can't give. Don't say you can't. My friends, in the church, there's no such thing as can't. We're going to get rid of that word because God has given every person in this room a gift in which to serve. And let's celebrate the diversity of ministry that God has given to us. Secondly, as we serve in diversity, let's be united in our purpose. We have one purpose, and that's to glorify God as we bring people to faith in Jesus and disciple them for their glory. And as we serve in diversity, as we move forward in unity, let's all do it in humility of spirit. Because it's not about man, it's all about God, the Lord of the harvest. Let's give him the glory. God is the source of growth. No one can take credit. We are merely servants fulfilling God's purpose. We are all servants serving the same God, possessing the same Spirit of God, doing what we do all for the glory of God. And as we move forward, let's trust God in the process. Growth, whether it's a plant, the wheat in the fields in Saskatchewan and Alberta, or your garden at home, there's always hard times in growth. There's finding the right soil. Sometimes it's breaking up that hardened ground so we can make it soft again. There's pulling the weeds that would seek to choke the life out of the seed. But it's hard work. And then when we get the seed planted, the soil is fertile, it's ready. Then there's the sun and the rain. And there's the time. Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the growth to come. But here's the good news, it will come. But we need to trust God's process. We need to trust Him in the burning heat of the summer sun. We need to trust Him when the frigid winds of winter blow. We need to trust Him during the torrential rains of the fall. All of these are necessary for growth. And all are tools God uses for our growth. So I want you to recognize today how adversity also is an opportunity to prove God and to see growth. The book of James says it this way. In James 1, 2, and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, we have some beautiful structures in this province. Over in Vancouver on the mainland, there are some beautiful bridges. Can I tell you a secret? I hate bridges. They go way high, like way, way high. And heights and I just don't get along very well. But I got to be honest, the times where where Sue and I have visited Vancouver and we have not had the opportunity to drive on it, but we have taken a picture of the Lions Gate Bridge in Vancouver, a beautiful structure of engineering. Did you know that there are three things that an engineer takes into account when he builds a bridge? Doesn't matter if it's the Lions Gate or a small bridge that cuts across a creek in North Saanich. It's the same three principles. First of all, the engineer must take into account the loads and stresses while designing a bridge. These loads are called the dead load, the live load, and the wind load. The dead load is the weight of the bridge itself. The live load is the weight of the traffic, the daily traffic that the bridges must carry. The wind load is the pressure of the storms that beat on the bridge. The designer plans for the braces that will enable the bridge to bear all these loads. In your life and mine, we also need those bracings, which makes it possible to carry the dead load of self, the live load of daily living, and the wind load of crisis. When the winds blow and the bridge shakes, and you're wondering if you can get over to the other side, here's the good news. God's got it figured out. He knows that you'll be able to get through, not because you've got the right stuff, but because He is the right stuff. and he has everything under control, and he will bring you to the other side so you can drive with confidence. You can go forward in confidence. Trials, patience, and maturity all bring glory to God. Growth is hard, but don't give up. There is more that he wants to do in you so that he can work through you in more ways than you can ever imagine. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love this. First of all, be confident. Be assured. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Be confident because your faith is in God. Know that that work which he has begun, he's going to bring it to completion. What he started, he is able to finish. And he'll complete it until that day when the trumpet sounds and we have been raptured from this earth and we are standing before the throne and we lay our crowns at his feet and we are there all singing together, all glory to God. He is Lord. There is no one else. We've made it because he has brought us through. Say amen. So let God work in you. Embrace the opportunities to become a healthy part of his process for you. Don't give up meeting together. Keep singing. Keep praying. Keep pressing on, for the journey which may seem long has eternity at the end. You're going to get through it, and you're going to get through it to his glory. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Worship team, would you come and come back, and would you lead us in a song this morning? As the worship team comes, I'm going to pray a prayer that I would like us all to pray from our hearts this morning, because I think we're all at some stage in our growth wondering, number one, how much further is it? And number two, am I going to make it to the end? I hope you've heard the message this morning. Yes, it's only a little while and you're going to make it because of Jesus. So would you pray this prayer in your hearts with me today? Father, I know you desire for me to grow. I know that who I am now is not who I once was, and who I will be is not who I am now. Help me to recognize the areas of my life that need to be rearranged to create an environment of growth. Give me the conviction to make the changes so that you might have full reign in my life and grow me into the person you destined me to be. Amen.